Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how's everyone doing? This week I kicked off with the first week sessions of my group coaching program, which was so exciting, and I always love seeing lots of new faces and getting to know new clients and really introducing them to the basics. We always do the basics in the first few weeks of these tools and these concepts, and even in the first few sessions there were already some real great light bulb moments for those in the hot seats being coached, which was just so exciting and fun to see. So I've had an amazing week. The sun is also out in the UK, which is crazy, so I'm even getting to sit here without a heated blanket on my knee. It is crazy. I'm even hot. I'm even wearing bare arms. I am that warm, which is just lovely. I love this time of year. And just to go back to the group coaching program, if you missed this round, I'm not going to be doing another full 12-week group coaching program until next year, just because of my wedding and the honeymoon that I'll be going on in December time. But I do have an idea for something that's a little bit shorter and maybe a little bit different to the usual group coaching program. So I'm mulling over those ideas now. So just stay tuned, and I promise I will give you all the details when I've decided on the details. You will be the first to know. Okay, so let's dive into today's episode. Now, it's easy for us to feel like someone else's bad mood directly impacts our own mood. And I hear people saying this when they call themselves empaths. So they say, oh no, like I'm just an empath. I just really feel other people's emotions. And they kind of think that other people's emotions somehow jump from the other person into their body in some way. And so they feel them themselves. Or how they're very sensitive to energies changing. And I'm not knocking anyone who says things like this. I'm a very empathetic person too, and maybe would have said similar things about past experiences. But it's actually really important that we understand scientifically what is happening in these moments. So first things first, you don't ever feel somebody else's emotions. You don't ever feel the emotion in their body. So if they're angry or they're upset, that doesn't somehow jump from their body into yours for you to feel. It doesn't seep into the air and impact the air, and then you feel the effect of that energy. It doesn't seep into your skin in some way. The energy of somebody else isn't what creates your mood. And when people try to argue with me on this, I always use the example of a baby crying in a restaurant. You know, if you see your partner crying, you maybe have a lot of emotion about that. You probably feel really emotional or sad to see them crying. But when you're in a restaurant and you probably overhear a crying child in the distance of the restaurant, in the corner of the restaurant, you probably don't feel much about it at all. Maybe mildly irritated. But you don't feel this overwhelm of emotion. It's a baby. It cries. Makes sense. But if the emotion of others polluted the air and seeped into your skin and made you feel whatever they were feeling, you'd probably burst into tears yourself when you heard that baby crying in the restaurant. Or you'd at least have a very strong reaction to the crying, in the same way you maybe have a strong reaction to your partner's emotion. But you don't. Why is that? It's because your thoughts about the baby crying are totally different to your thoughts about your partner's bad mood. And it's your own thoughts that create the way that you feel. You're not feeling their emotion. Their emotions aren't directly impacting yours. They're not controlling yours. You're not feeling their bad energy. You're not being poisoned by it. All that's happening is you are witnessing them having a negative emotion, maybe a shift in their body language, maybe a shift in their tone of voice, maybe the way that they're holding themselves. You're perceiving that with your senses. Your brain is taking that in. And then you're having thoughts about it that then create a feeling inside your body. So I want to give you an example. A past client of mine said that when she'd go out for dinner with a group of her friends, one of them would often turn up in a bit of a bad mood. Maybe she was pissed off at the traffic, or she had a long day at work. I don't know. But she would huff and she'd put her bag down in a kind of heavy way. She'd be quite blunt and short with the friends when they were trying to ask her questions. And my client said that this person's behavior ruined her enjoyment of the whole night and that her bad energy completely ruined her mood. And when we looked at what was actually happening, my client said that when she heard her friend huff or speak in those one-word answers with that blunt tone, when her brain took in that information, she would feel anxious. And the reason she felt anxious was because she started to have thoughts like, something's wrong. I've done something wrong. I need to fix this. And so then those thoughts would create that anxiety, and then she would act out that anxiety by trying to coax her friend out of the bad mood. She would put all her attention onto her and be trying to say things to make her laugh, which didn't work. And instead of just letting her be and chatting to the other members of the group, she was constantly focusing and fixating on this friend of hers and trying to fix her. But my client believed it was her friend that was creating her bad mood. So that meant that she wasn't able to slow down and get curious about what was actually creating it and work on owning her own thoughts. And so many of us do this and have really similar thoughts to my client. We make someone else expressing a negative emotion mean something has gone wrong, and that something bad is happening. We've probably done something bad and therefore we are bad, and we need to fix this straight away so that we can feel better. And so no wonder their bad mood is such a terrible experience for us. We create a terrible experience of their bad mood all by how we think about it and what we make their bad mood mean. And what me and this particular client worked on was changing the way she thought about her friend's negative emotion. We challenged her thought that it meant she had done something wrong, and worked on the belief that her friend's bad mood was just a result of her own thinking, not my client. And we worked on the belief that nothing had actually gone wrong, that her friend was just a human being having some negative thoughts and negative emotions in that moment, and that there was nothing for her to fix. And so we came up with some new thoughts for her to go away and practice. And my client came back a few sessions later after having another meetup with this particular friendship group. And she said her experience had been totally different. Instead of tensing and freaking out when her friend was in a grumpy mood, she just practiced the thought. She's just having some thoughts and feelings right now. That's okay. Nothing's gone wrong. So then she didn't try and fix it. She just chatted with the other members until this particular friend had snapped out of her mood and she had a great night. And this is true of any time you feel like someone else's negative emotion is causing you to have a negative emotion. It's actually never them that's causing what you feel. It's always the way that you are thinking. And a lot of the time, especially in romantic relationships, my clients are really afraid of rejection. And that's one of the main things that people come to me for help with. And they're so afraid of rejection that their brains are just constantly scanning for any signs that their partner might be unhappy with them or might leave them. So of course, when their brain is in this particular mode, of course their partner being grumpy or quiet is going to equal, oh my God, they hate me and they're about to leave me. And when you blame them for your experience of anxiety or your frustration, you're missing out on taking back control of your emotions in that experience and creating a totally different experience for yourself. So here's what you need to do instead. First of all, you have to challenge what you're making their bad mood mean. And it's always useful to first separate out the facts of a person's behavior from the story in our own minds, because our thoughts can easily be things like, they're disconnected and withdrawn, they're totally checked out and they're being so cold. When the facts of the situation might be, your partner is sat on their phone scrolling through Instagram. Notice how one is so emotionally charged and sounds so alarming and a little bit dramatic. The other is just the neutral facts of what's happening. So separate out those facts and then get curious. What am I making this mean? Often our brains love to go to, they're mad at me. We witness a shift in someone's behavior and we don't know why it is. So we jump to that conclusion. And I call this filling in the blanks. Our brains actually have no idea at all what's going on inside someone else's head because we're not psychic. So instead, we fill in the blanks with our own insecurities. And if you're afraid of anyone ever being mad at you or rejecting you, boom, that's automatically what your brain will fill in the blanks with. So take a minute to challenge that. What might be going on inside their brain right now that has nothing to do with you? What might they be feeling or thinking in this moment? I had to do this work a lot when I first moved in with my fiance. So she would come home from work after being stuck in traffic and being in the office all day, and she would often be a little quieter than usual. And so my brain would instantly go to anxiety. And I'd be thinking, what does this mean? Is she mad at me? Have I done something wrong? And my brain would, of course, center me in the whole situation. It made me the cause. It made me the star of the show because, of course, my brain is obsessed with me. And just like all of your brains are obsessed with you. But when I could actually slow down and get really curious, I realized there were so many other reasons for why she might be a little quieter than usual. She was likely feeling tired. She'd been stuck in traffic, so she was maybe feeling a little grumpy. She was probably hungry. She'd spent all day talking to people at work and just needed a minute to unwind. It helped as well that from a curious place, I was able to actually get curious with her and ask her how she was feeling without making it about me or trying to fix it. And so she was also able to explain that she just needed time to decompress after work and that nothing was wrong. But even in these moments, our partners can tell us that nothing is wrong and our brains still won't accept that. We're so afraid of being rejected and we keep spiraling in it. What if they're lying to me? What if they're actually getting bored of me? What if something's wrong? And this is where managing your mind around what other people's thoughts and feelings mean about you is so, so important. So whatever your brain is most afraid of, you have to really address that. So when your brain is saying, but what if they are actually mad at me? What if they're lying? What if they're getting fed up with the relationship? Answer those questions, because whatever the answer that you're subconsciously giving yourself is what you're actually afraid of. Maybe it'll mean we'll break up. Okay, ask again. So what? What would that mean if they were mad at you and then ended up breaking up with you? Maybe the next thought is, it'll mean I'm a bad person or I'm not good enough. Or I failed at the relationship, I'll never meet anybody else. And then bingo, that is what your brain is actually so afraid of. That's what your brain is so desperately trying to protect you from when it's monitoring your partner's behavior. If you believe that them being mad at you and leaving you is going to result in you having to believe that you're not good enough and that you'll never meet anyone else, of course it's in hypervigilance mode. That sounds terrifying. So you have to really challenge those thoughts. Why would I make this person choosing to leave my life mean these things about me? How would they not actually be true? And what else could I choose to think about myself even if the worst case did happen? And it's really important to remember that you are never responsible for their thoughts and feelings. My clients tend to think that sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. Like sometimes it's their behavior that creates it and sometimes their partners are being irrational. But I'm here to tell you that you never create the emotion inside somebody else's body. How do I know that? Because it's always their thoughts that create their emotions. And even if their thoughts are about something you've done and an action you have taken, that's not actually a direct creation of your behavior. Let me give you an example. You could upload a picture with an attractive male or female friend of yours, and one partner could think nothing of it at all. It's totally fine. The other could feel completely jealous and angry and give you the cold shoulder. Why is that? It's because they'd both be having totally different thoughts about that circumstance. You could be 30 minutes late home and one partner could be totally chilled about it and ask how your day was. The other could make it mean that they're not a priority to you and feel really hurt. So whatever your behavior is, whatever action it is you've taken, there are tons of ways someone could think about it. And it's their thoughts and how they think about it that creates the emotion that they feel. And no, this isn't me saying that we should just not care about other people's feelings and just behave badly. Of course not. We can understand how different things may impact different people and the thoughts they might have about it. And, you know, try and be kind and compassionate and considerate to that. We can show up in the best way that we can and consider other people's feelings. And even when we do, we still won't be able to prevent people being angry or upset with us some of the time. And this is why it's so important to normalize people having negative emotions. We logically know that negative emotions are a normal part of life. But yet when our friends or partners or family members have them, we tend to freak out. We make it mean that something has gone wrong, that this shouldn't be happening. But what if your friends or your partner or any human that you know was supposed to have negative emotion 50% of the time? What if they were supposed to sometimes get frustrated or annoyed or feel a little sad or angry? What if when this happened, it didn't mean anything had gone wrong and it wasn't something you needed to fix? And of course, this isn't me saying that we shouldn't have boundaries. You know, if you have a partner that's displaying a lot of anger and your nervous system is really reacting to that, you might want to have a boundary where you decide, okay, if you're going to raise your voice to me, I am going to leave the room. Or if you are going to use those kinds of swear words towards me, I am going to leave the house and stay somewhere else. Like, boundaries are important as well. And I have other episodes on boundaries. So definitely go and check those out. If you think that what might be going on for you is more of a boundary violation, definitely check out those episodes. But for a lot of the time, it isn't that there's a boundary violation going on here. It's just that we have an anxious response to anyone else ever feeling a negative emotion, which of course is very different. But if we can normalize the fact that all the humans are supposed to have negative emotions 50% of the time, we can then stop making it mean that every time they have one, it means they're going to leave us. Think about how often you felt annoyed at a friend of yours or angry at your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Has that always meant you wanted to end the relationship for good? Likely not. You know that you can have negative thoughts and feelings about them and still want them in your life. So what if the same could be true the other way around? And often we make someone having negative thoughts or feelings about us mean something bad about ourselves. And so we so desperately want to try and prevent them from having those thoughts. But whatever they're thinking about you, it's just an optional thought. And you still get to decide on purpose what you are going to think about yourself, regardless. For example, your friend might be annoyed that you cancelled plans with them. They might be having some negative thoughts about that. But you get to decide what you make that mean about you. You don't have to make that mean that you're a bad friend or that you've done something wrong. And you can still choose to believe that you're a good friend and that it's totally okay to cancel plans sometimes and that it's okay for someone else to feel negatively about that. Nothing's gone wrong. So there's two key things that you can do to start owning your experience when you're around other people's behavior. And the first is process and allow your emotions. So when your brain is wired to see other people's negative emotions as threats and problems, it makes sense it's going to automatically sound the alarm and send anxiety through your body in these moments. So just pause for a moment and notice where the sensations are. Give your brain a break from thinking all its thoughts just for a moment and just notice where in your body you can feel those sensations. Is it in your chest? Is it in your stomach, your arms, your throat? Wherever it is, take a moment to just observe it. Don't be in a rush to get rid of it. Label it. Say to yourself, this is anxiety and it's okay that it's here right now. And then just notice how those sensations feel. Are they heavy or are they light? Are they totally still or are they moving and pulsating? Does the sensation feel hot or warm or is it quite cold? Just be curious as you observe it. Don't try and get rid of it. With every breath, just imagine your chest is expanding to make room for the sensation, or maybe your stomach, wherever the sensation is. Imagine that you're just relaxing around it, letting the sensation hang out with you as long as it needs to. This is how we process and allow the sensations of emotions instead of resisting them. And what you'll notice when you do this is your whole body will start to relax more. The sensation might still be there, but your entire experience of it will feel a lot calmer. It won't feel as intense. And I have a whole meditation that is basically just me walking you through this technique in real time. So I'll leave the link to it in the show notes. It's a really great resource for teaching you the basic skill of doing this. And then of course you can go and use the same technique without listening to the recording whenever you need to. And when I'm really triggered and I'm working on processing the emotion and calming my body down, I like to also say things to myself like, I am safe. Nothing has gone wrong. This is just my brain's default response around negative emotion, and that's okay. I can just feel this right now. And what that does is further help to show my brain that I am safe and let it know that it can turn off the alarm. There's no tiger about to pounce on me. I am safe. And then of course, we need to work on changing your thoughts in this moment. So once you've processed the emotion a little and you feel a little bit calmer, this would be a great time to introduce and practice some new thoughts around what you want to make negative emotion mean. And I'll share with you some of the ones that I practiced at the start of my relationship. One was, she's a human being having her human experience right now, and that's okay. She can be in a bad mood, and I can feel calm and safe. This is a reflection of her thoughts right now, not me or my enoughness. It's possible I can love and accept myself no matter what. Negative emotions are a totally normal part of human relationships. Nothing has gone wrong. Of course, it's important for you to address your specific thoughts that you have about negative emotion. So, for example, if you're afraid that them being annoyed always means they're going to leave you, maybe there's a thought that you want to challenge and change. It could be something like, it's possible someone can feel annoyed at me and still want me in their life. But what's most important is that you play around and find thoughts that resonate with your brain, because a thought that feels great when I think it might not resonate with your specific brain and create any shift in your emotion. And that's what we're trying to do here. It's what's really important. We're trying to find new thoughts that feel believable to your brain and create a better feeling inside your body. So ask yourself, how would I love to feel when my partner's in a bad mood? And what would someone who felt that way be thinking? How would they then show up? Would they desperately try and fix it and snap their partner out of it? Or would they relax? Maybe give them some space, be there for them if they needed to talk. Be compassionate and loving to yourself as you explore this. And remember, just because your brain is telling you something is dangerous and a threat doesn't mean it actually is. Okay guys, that is all I've got for you today. I hope it was helpful. I've put the link for the Processing Emotions meditation in the show notes of this episode, and I'll also put a cheat sheet for questioning your thoughts, which will help you start poking holes in your current thoughts and show yourself alternative ways of thinking about any situation, including your partner or your friend's bad moods. So definitely go and check that out. And as always, if you are loving this podcast, could you give it a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from? That would mean the absolute world to me and keep me reaching more and more people with this work. I hope you all have lovely weekends, and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.